hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and falling down the deep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fighting side of me. Just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm if you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and falling down the key. If you don't love it, leave it. Singing be warned. And you run down my country, man. You walk in on right beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on AltRightTV.com or WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. Of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Very sadly, as I've warned, and it's not a warning I am happy to say I told you so, but Canada is descending more and more into a police state, and it perhaps will get worse, actually. Yesterday, the testy mayor of Toronto, John Tory, having scolded people for being out in the public parks, perhaps ill-advisedly playing basketball or soccer, he closed those areas of the park. Somehow disabled the basketball courts and put chains to block entrances. Well, now that didn't work. People got over the chains. So there's going to be areas of parking, these parking lots, blocked with concrete barriers. I was in the edge of a park, large park in Hamilton, very deserted. There's a soccer pitch there, which isn't being used. I've seen one or two people perhaps walking their dog or taking a walk, but that doesn't harm anybody. Well, there's the two parking lots that are in this park were blocked off today. Police are now, Quebec, members of the Sûreté du Québec, or the Quebec Provincial Police, are now checking cars coming across the five bridges from the city of Ottawa, which is on the interior side of the border, into Quebec. And people are being they're being asked, well, what is their business? If it's not essential, they're being sent back. If they're on their way, if they say, well, I own a cottage in Quebec, I would like to go and spend, you know, some time at the cottage. No, that's not allowed. You know, of course, there's an ongoing debate as to whether this really is a danger. In fact, one would think if the idea is that people not concentrate in together, a family going and spending a week or two up at the cottage would seem to be a good thing. Well, there are some people who don't think it is. The allegation is that these people might bring the coronavirus to a rural area. Yeah, that's possible. And other people going into the rural area. People from the rural area going to the mixed city to shop could do the same thing. But this is what you get in a police state. Arbitrary rules that sometimes don't even make any sense. But you've got to obey them because otherwise you will be fined or arrested. Yeah. And you only think you missed Cuba. You didn't. This will become Cuba North. Now, I appreciate that some of these regulations may be done with good intentions. But good intentions are not everything. Well, former Senator Jeff Sessions is running for to regain his old Senate seat in Alabama. And Sessions, I've always felt, was one of the good guys from the very beginning. He was an outspoken opponent of illegal immigration and even to some degree of mass immigration before it became at all popular. He was one of the early backers of Donald Trump. And although I know he and Donald Trump had a falling out when he was Attorney General, Sessions has always been a strong voice for immigration reform. And a pushy black reporter asked him challenged him and said that the World Health Organization is making sure that we don't call this a Chinese virus or call it a Wuhan virus or an Asian virus. And here is Jeff Sessions' reply, which I think is really looks good on him.
The World Health Organization is making sure that we don't call this a Chinese virus, don't call it a Wuhan virus, an Asian virus. This is, they say, call it by a scientific name, COVID-19, and not really talk about that. So maybe China, that's a battle for another day. Right now, we're waging a war against coronavirus. What do you think we should be doing to win this war?
It got started in China, Art. They covered it up, and it spread around the world, and thousands and thousands of people are sick and dying. It is a virus that started in China, and we have often used the name of the place that started as the description of the virus.
So succinct and so clear. It started in China. They covered it up. It's a perfectly accurate description to call it the Wuhan flu or the China virus. Jeff Sessions goes on to add on Twitter, the Chinese government is a communist, totalitarian, atheistic regime that covered up the Wuhan virus. That is a fact. Goes on to add, I will not be silenced by the media, nor cowed by the Chinese government, or anyone who parrots their false and deceitful talking points. I post on Twitter. Jeff Sessions tells the truth. The Wuhan virus flu is the Chinese virus. It started there, likely because of the filthy wet markets. They covered it up, and their lies continue to burst. It enabled it to burst out as an epidemic. Perhaps if they had honestly confronted it early on, it might not have spread much beyond parts of Wuhan. this is a fact, or as I've suggested before, this is race realism. You cannot solve a problem if you can't describe it or name it. You know, if you go to the doctor's office and say, "Doctor, I don't feel well," and he says, "Oh, okay, that's too bad. What's the problem?" "Well, it's I don't want to say." "Oh, it's a thingamajig in my what's it?" The doctor's puzzled. How can we deal with it? We can't talk about it. And that is exactly the point. And that is one of the pernicious things about attacks on free speech. And much of the West has to be very aware of this. Had there been free speech in China, if you, the early doctors who tried to warn other Chinese about this were instead, the one was flung in prison for publishing false news. Well, it wasn't false news; it was the truth. But you see, in a totalitarian regime, the truth is what the state wants it to be, and the state wouldn't want something getting out that might suggest that they're not running things well, because after all, in this case, the Communist Party is supreme. Lack of free speech has real world, real life consequences, and they're not good. This is from InfoWars. China's wet markets are still selling bats, dogs, and cats. Many of these disgusting practices have come to America. And this is something that I and other animal rights activists have long worried about. We have anecdotal, I've actually seen things anecdotally in Chinatown in years gone by that would make you sick. There's a large turtle, I remember, maybe 15 years ago. He was in a Chinese market downtown. And the Chinese love fresh fruit, particularly fresh wildlife, but I don't mean just recently killed, unkilled. There's things still there. And it was observed that a person went into this Chinese market and indicated he'd like a piece of the turtle's leg, turtle leg. It's a fairly large turtle. You know, hang on to your stomach. The shop owner took up a hatchet and sliced off a piece of the turtle's a turtle's leg. I mean, inhumane, disgusting. The question, of course, is: are these wet markets present in North America? Well, we're going to show you that they are. Now, a wet market refers to a market where the animals are live, but usually, especially in China, not just domestic animals, but wild animals as well. In fact, I've often thought that had Noah been a Chinaman, he'd have eaten everything on the ark, because if it swims, if it wiggles, if it walks, if it flies, they're likely to want to eat it. And not so much out of poverty. While these food habits may or may not have started at one point in poverty. Imagine eating bats. It's no longer the case. While China is not a rich nation, there's a very large middle class, and among the middle class, there's quite a hunger for the exotic. Anyway, Fox News host Tucker Carlson on the Monday of this week highlighted a report from the Daily Mail revealing how Chinese wet markets are still selling bats, cats, and dogs for people to eat in China. Chinese wet markets, where all sorts of unusual animals, from bats to cats to scorpions, are sold to consumers as food, have long been considered a breeding ground for exotic diseases. Viruses. Despite the fact that such markets were considered ground zero for the novel coronavirus outbreak, reports emerged this past weekend that wet markets are being reopened in major cities across China. Yeah, the government banned them, but anecdotally, it was reported that if they had been halted, they, it was only temporarily. Well, they're back in business. Well, we still don't know where the coronavirus came from in Wuhan, and anyone who tells you we are certain of that is lying to you, Carlson said. But many people believe it could have originated at the wet market in Wuhan. That's a place where consumers buy the meat of wild animals to eat, including bats. Wild animal wet markets have long been recognized as a major pandemic threat. As coronavirus spread, China announced it would crack down on them, obviously, but it looks like the crackdown didn't last long. According to the British Daily Mail, across China, wet markets are reopening and selling the same animals as they did before. The Fox News host listed two major cities where dogs and cats are both for sale as food, and another with a long stand selling traditional Chinese medicines, advertising things like lizards, scorpions, and yes, bats. And one of the problems with the wet markets is that these animals, many of them obviously very stressed, they probably have a pretty good idea they're about to die, are often bleeding or urinating or defecating in their cages. And these markets are incredibly filthy, incredibly smelly. And viruses, or sometimes ticks, that are on these animals, like bats, move to other animals, and then it's believed into the human species. The concentration of these animals in distress, still alive, the filth allows the virus to leap species, and that's how we got coronavirus. That's how we got SARS 15 years ago. There's pictures from a mic on Twitter. The markets have gone back to operating exactly the way they did before the coronavirus. The only difference is that security guards try to stop anyone taking pictures, which would never have happened before. And there's pictures of cages to terrify dogs and cats crammed into rusty cages. Bats and scorpions are offered for sale as traditional Chinese medicine. Terrified rabbits and ducks slaughtered and skinned side by side on a stone floor covered with blood, filth, and animal remains. I mean, this is just, you know, they talk about washing your hands to to prevent getting the virus. This is just a stew pot of filth. Those were the deeply troubling scenes yesterday as China celebrated its victory, supposedly, over the coronavirus by reopening squalid meat markets of the type that the start of the pandemic 3 months ago, with no apparent attempt to raise hygiene standards to prevent a future outbreak. As the pandemic that began in Wuhan forced countries worldwide to go into lockdown, a Mail on Sunday, that's the British Daily Mail, a correspondent, well, yesterday, that's Monday, watched as thousands of customers flocked into a sprawling indoor market in Guilin in southwest China. Here, cages of different species were piled on top of each other in a meat market in Dongguan, southern China. Another correspondent photographed a medicine seller returning to business on Thursday with a billboard advertising bats, thought to be the cause of the Wuhan outbreak, along with scorpions and other creatures. The market in Greenland was packed with shoppers that day, with fresh dog meat and cat meat on offer, a traditional warming winter dish in China. Many of the disgusting practices, though, have also come to America. New York City has over 80 wet markets. These are animal markets. that sell live animals to the public and slaughter them on site. The animal rights group, Their Turn, reported this on Monday. And quote, like the wet market in China where the COVID-19 virus jumped from animal to human, the New York City wet markets are a petri dish for infectious diseases. And, you know, one wonders if perhaps one of the things going on with fact that New York City seems to be the epicenter of the coronavirus, and this is not certain yet, though, it may be the presence of these wet markets, even in New York City.
Well, we still don't know where the coronavirus came from originally in Wuhan, and anyone who tells you we're certain of that is lying to you. But many people believe it could have originated in the wet market in Wuhan. That's a place where consumers buy the meat of wild animals to eat, including bats. Wild animal wet markets have long been recognized as a major pandemic threat. As coronavirus spread, China announced it would crack down on them, obviously. But it looks like the crackdown didn't last long. According to the Daily Mail, across China, wet markets are reopening and selling the same animals they did before. In the city of Guilin, dogs and cats are both for sale as food. In Zhuangguan, a stand selling traditional Chinese medicines advertises things like lizards, scorpions, and yes, bats. Again, we have known for more than a decade that wet markets are a diseased time bomb. This is not the first virus to emanate from them. But it looks like even after a global crisis, China continues to threaten the rest of us with wet markets.
And that was Tucker Carlson. Here's something that was put up on Twitter by W.B. Yeats. Not the original one, I'm sure. That was William Butler Yeats, the great Irish playwright and poet. But this is a video. It's about 2 minutes long with a reasonably good-looking Chinese woman with sunglasses, a very posh car, well made up. And she's going from store to store in Florida buying up masks, surgical masks. This video is in Chinese, and the subtitles, there are subtitles in English. If you are interested, email me at paul@paulfromm.com, and I'll send you the Twitter link. But here it is. One of the lines in the video is, it feels so awesome to buy all the masks. I didn't leave a single mask for the Americans. What the status is of this woman, I don't know, but many people on Twitter have said she should be deported. Her citizenship should be canceled. Now, I'm not sure of the legality of that, but this woman is certainly not a patriot. I'm going to read the English subtitles. It's so awesome. 3M masks now have 40 masks. I'm so happy. I keep finding masks even when the trailer is attached to my car. I can store more masks if I arrange properly. Yeah, I'm so happy. So happy. Normally we look for masks in the paint stores. This time we went to another place and we found the masks. She's laughing. I'm so happy. There are more. I will buy one more box. People outside city area are nicer.
Thank you so much. You're so kind.
Thank you, so kind. They still don't know about the purchase limit on masks. Let me pay and get out of here. I'm sweating because I'm scared. She chuckles. A full shopping cart. I bought all the masks. The shelves are empty. You can see my sweat. I feel hot. I'm nervous. I feel like a thief. The people here still don't know. I drove 1.5 hours in middle Florida. There are fewer Chinese here. They still don't know about the masks. Once again, I successfully pay for the masks. I feel so nice. One more full shopping cart. There's your kid playing with the masks. The truck is full. I can only move the masks here. Busy with us. That's the kid. Oh, you're fine.
Yeah.
The man from the store helps her load the masks into a truck. Fully loaded, she says. Yeah, a truck fully loaded. A historical moment. Keeping going. Still 40 minutes to the campsite. And, you know, this is absolutely disgusting. And one really hopes that there'll be an investigation, and this woman will be punished for what she's done. we told you so. In fact, I've been telling you so, not you necessarily, the ones who are listening, but the people who subscribe to the Canada First Immigration Reform Committee's Canadian Immigration Hotline. It comes out monthly. I edit it and have been doing so for 30 years. If you'd like to get a sample copy, email me at paul@paulfromm.com. paul@paulfromm.com. And I'll be glad to mail you. That's by snail mail, so you're going to have to give me a postal mailing address. Glad to mail you a copy, a sample copy. Actually, mail you a few. One of the things we have in every issue is a feature called Health Watch. And we monitor the diseases or health impacts of immigration, often poorly screened immigration, on Canada. And over the years, we've ticked off such lovely things as the return of leprosy. Yeah, leprosy, tuberculosis, and many other illnesses. And from time to time, we've used the slogan, which has gotten us a lot of criticism, immigration can kill you. Oh, that's stigmatizing immigrants. No, it is exposing poorly screened immigration. Doesn't mean every immigrant is deathly ill or poses a health problem. Of course not. But some do. And immigration, or more elaborately, poorly screened immigration can kill you. Well, who told you so? Immigration policy can kill you. There's a coronavirus outbreak among temporary foreign workers in Kelowna. And Kelowna is in the middle of the Okanagan Valley in the interior of British Columbia. And Global News reported a COVID-19 outbreak investigated in West Kelowna plant nursery. The Interior Health Authority says it's investigating an outbreak of COVID-19 involving a group of temporary foreign workers in West Kelowna. On Tuesday, the Interior Health said the investigation at the agricultural business followed confirmation of COVID-19 cases among the group of workers. It added that the workers live in on-site housing at Byland's Nursery and that 75 workers are involved, 63 migrant workers and 12 local workers who are all self-isolating. Interior Health said that there were 14 positive tests for COVID-19 and that additional results are pending. Now, it looks as though one or several people brought this COVID-19 into this group, and it spread like wildfire. Interior Health said a medical officer, health officer, placed an order on Byland's Nurseries Limited on March 27th, and that the workers are to remain in quarantine on the property until the medical officer provides alternate direction. Medical health officer is confident that the risk of exposure to the general public is low, Interior Health said in a press release. None of the workers were in roles that interact with customers, and members of this group had very minimal contact with the community. Well, okay, minimal, but you know, that's still none. That's still not, no contact. Interior Health said the business is closed to customers and that the workers live in accommodations that provide space for individuals to safely self-isolate. Bylands Nursery Limited has been fully cooperative with Interior Health through this process, said the Interior Health press release, adding that the cases may be linked to a group of workers who arrived in Kelowna from outside of Canada on March 12th. We're not told exactly where, but many of the temporary foreign workers that come from Mexico or Central America. As usual, secrecy is the name of the game. Now, about a week later, the order came down from the federal government that anybody returning from March break, or actually returning from outside of Canada, must isolate themselves for 14 days. That was an order. Everybody. The Prime Minister, in his scolding, preachy way, was telling people, and don't stop off at a grocery store or stop off to visit a relative, drive directly from the airport and go to your residence and self-isolate. Now, that's if you're just returning from outside the country, anywhere outside the country. Many of these people were on holiday for the March break. Okay, that applied to Canadians. Well, what about temporary foreign workers? Well, that's only begun to apply, I'd say, within the last week or 10 days. These apparently may have come on March the 12th. You wonder, though, by this time there was widespread knowledge of what the coronavirus was. And you would think that anybody coming in as a worker who doesn't have an absolute right to be here, if you're a Canadian citizen, you have a right to return to your own country, that these people, just as a matter of course, would be tested. And this is where anti-racism, which is, of course, endemic with our government right now, it's a mental illness. And it prevents this lack of race realism. And anti-racism is the ultimate unrealistic approach to race. And it can cause people's deaths. It makes them reluctant to test people from outside the country because that would be discriminatory. Ironically, when every Canadian coming back from abroad has to be tested, it would seem the discrimination goes the other way. In fact, it's a special privilege. But be that as it may. Interior Health added that under orders from the medical health officer, Bylands Nurseries and Garden Center have taken measures to prevent the spread of the novel coronavirus, including enhanced cleaning of all nursery housing, sanitary and other facilities accessed by employees, along with denying visitors access to the site. So far so good. But Provincial Health Officer Dr. Bonnie Henry called on farm workers, stating that they'd been in Canada prior to recent regulations regarding temporary foreign workers. Asked by Global News what should be done to prevent outbreaks among temporary foreign workers, Henry said that this was an area of deep concern. that's not an answer. We've had these discussions at the national level, said Henry. As you know, this is a national, the Temporary Foreign Workers Program is a national program. Many, but not all, the temporary foreign workers do work in the agricultural area. This is a good example where the actions are taken after the horse has bolted from the barn. whether we'll dodge the bullet on this one or not, I guess will remain to be seen. This is another recent story. China lied about the coronavirus cases, according to U.S. intelligence, and all the while Canada's servile Sino-positive liberal establishment cried racism rather than blocking or testing travelers from China. Now, if you criticized the policy, if you said, well, we should be testing everybody that comes from the hot zone, well, that's what was seen to be racist, you know. You can't do that. You can't single out an ethnic community. And that's exactly where this this mental illness of anti-racism leads you. This lack of race realism leads to catastrophic mistakes. This is what U.S. intelligence sources are now saying. China lied about the coronavirus. The country has allegedly been underreported the total number of cases and deaths in connection with the virus. China has not revealed the extent to which the coronavirus outbreak has affected the country, according to U.S. intelligence. The country has allegedly underreported the total number of cases and deaths in connection with the virus. Bloomberg News reported that three U.S. officials said information on the subject was released to the White House in a classified report. The officials did not want to be identified due to the secrecy of the report and did not provide further details of its content. They did note, however, that China intentionally provided incomplete reporting on the number of cases and the overall death toll. According to two of the officials, information in the report says China's numbers are fake. Yes, especially when the outbreak in a much more sophisticated country like Italy has now claimed the lives of over 10,000 people. And that is fewer. Those are fewer than the numbers who died in China, or who allegedly died in China. The outbreak started in Hubei, China, in 2019, and data from Johns Hopkins University shows that China has reported around 82,000 cases of the disease and 3,300 deaths, which would be a death rate of about 4%. The U.S. has reported 189,000 cases with over 4,000 deaths, that would be a death rate of a little over 2%. Skepticism of China's numbers has grown both inside and outside of the country, as several methodologies have been used to count cases. The country did not include asymptomatic people in its counts until only recently. Over 1,500 people without symptoms were added to China's total on Tuesday. In Hubei, those are people who have the virus but have not exhibited symptoms. In Hubei province, people began to doubt the reporting when thousands of urns were stacked outside funeral homes. Like thousands! All that for what, 3,300 deaths? In a news conference on Tuesday, State Department immunologist Deborah Birx, who is advising on the subject at the White House, said the medical community interpreted the Chinese data as this was serious but smaller than anyone expected. Because I think probably we were missing a significant amount of the data now that we can see what's happened in Italy and Spain, both of which have now reported over 10,000 deaths. Iran, Indonesia, Russia, and particularly North Korea are suspected of similarly faulty reporting by Western officials. North Korea has not even reported one case of the disease. Egypt and Saudi Arabia have also been suspected of underreporting. Mike Pompeo, the U.S. Secretary of State, has accused China of not revealing the extent of the problem many times. Quote, this data set matters, Pompeo told a news conference on Tuesday. Development of public health measures and medical therapies used for combating coronavirus so that we can save lives depends on the ability to have confidence and information about what has actually transpired. I would urge every nation, do your best to collect the data. Do your best to share the information. And in this article, I have gone on to expose how the China blindness and anti-racism of Canadian authorities has led us to make many big policy errors, including not early on having a travel ban from China, or at least the affected area, and mandatory testing of anybody who got off a plane from China. Oh no, that would be stigmatizing. Well, you know, anti-racism is not only anti-white, it's a form of mental illness. Well, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me. Going to take my musical break now, and once again, I'm going to play some bluegrass music, and I'm playing it thanks to Mark and Tina Palazzola, who are fellow board members with me at the Council of Conservative Citizens in the United States. Here's some bluegrass music. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me.
Chicken by Nelly got him around his neck and picked him clean. Funniest chicken I ever seen. Hey,
Bye-bye-bye.
Oh,
bye-bye-bye.
Bye-bye-bye. You want for me? you think I am bad? Cause you're missing about one ham. Hey,
back the neck, oh, back the neck. Hey, back the neck, you want for me.
Behind the bars,
hey, back the neck, oh, back the neck, hey, back the neck, you want for me.
Nan put on her Sunday dress, thought that everyone looked the best, made out of an old feet sign, got feet wrote right on the back,
hey, back the neck, oh, back the neck.
Hey, you want for me? Nanny's got a pair of shoes and she can wear them if she'll choose. Well, why the heck she got the blues? Well, wants to wear a size 22. Hey,
back the neck, oh, back the neck. Hey, back the neck, you want for me?
Thank you.
Grass is growing, water's flowing, a free and easy way. But give me enough of the final stuff that's made near Galway Bay. All peelers all from Donegal, Galway and Leitrim too. We'll give them the slip and we'll take a sip of the real old mountain view. Of the hill there's a neat little still where the smoke curls up to the sky. By the smoke and the smell you can plainly tell that there's quick cane growing nearby. For it fills the air with odor rare, and betwixt both me and you, when home you'll roll you can take a ball in a bucket of the mountain dew. Now learned men who use the pen wrote your praises high. This sweet poutine from Ireland's green, distilled from wheat and rye. Throw away your pills of the pure all ills of pagan or Christian dew. Take off your coat and free your throat with the real old mountain dew. Hey, the dilly day, the dilly day, the dilly day, the dum, dilly dum, day, dilly day, day. Ha, the dilly day, the dum, dilly dum, day, the dum, dilly dum, day, dilly day, day.
Thank you. Paul Fromm, you're on the fighting side of me, and I sign off tonight as I always do with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on offrighttv.com or rightresistanceradio.com.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here made to wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen, and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen, and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. Dominion now extends from Cape Race to Nootka Sound. May peace forever be our lot, and plenteous store abound. And may those ties of love be ours, which discord cannot sever, and flourish green o'er freedom's home, the maple leaf forever.